Well, guys, 3-0, first time since 2007 with that mark, and the defense hasn't given up a point in the fourth quarter. What do you think?
Book your trip. We're going down 95
well,
to
MetLife. I'm going to Atlanta. I don't know.
MetLife. MetLife Stadium, February. Okay. Book it.
But seriously, what
seriously,
do you think?
They will play in MetLife Stadium at some point. I don't know when the Jets game is, but they will be there.
No, it's a great sign.
They played well. I mean, I think that they, going into the season, you would have thought 3-0, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, here we are, 3-0. They've had three bad, good teams beat bad teams, right? When you're a good team, you take care of business. That's what they did on Sunday.
And we also said going into the season, we had the question, can the defense make up for whatever the offense has lost or at least will have lost early in the year?
Was the question answered?
Yes, they have made up for it. You have had lower scoring games, and you've won those. And especially this week where you won it early on. I mean, they were able to go into four-minute offense, just run the clock out in the fourth quarter. And that was, it didn't go down to the wire like the first 2 weeks where the defense was also involved. Yeah. I think it was a nice step forward.
And I think especially this week, and because I think Tom Brady had one of his poorer games that he's had in recent memory.
You've been and all yet, over him all week.
Well, no, listen, for Tom Brady, you know, a 94 rating, you know, it's a poor game. That's how good he is. But
it's a good game compared to the first two.
But I think in the first two games, we're looking at Brady, you know, doing what he had to do, but having no support. I think this time you can say that Brady didn't have one of his best games, yet they still won. When's the last time we were able to say that?
Well, I mean,
you don't
really
have to answer that. That was rhetorical.
And I'm also.
I was going to get the media guy.
I wasn't prepared for that. Normally, I have those right off the top of my head. But I don't think he played as bad as you do. I don't think it was his best game. I agree with you there. I've seen him better. But the key is what Andy said at the beginning. The question going in was, would the defense be able to make up for, you know, perhaps a touchdown or two less offense? And these are three games when you scored 23, 13, and 23 points that they would have been hard-pressed to win a year ago, regardless of opponent.
Right.
And the good sign here is that you were able to play a complimentary game and you're getting the defense to support the offense. The offense was better this week, right. And you were able to win the game anyway.
I think it wasn't that long ago when the Patriots scored less than 23 points. They had some abysmal record,
right.
You know. You know, relatively speaking.
But again, it's not necessarily surprising. We had questions, but you got all your starters back. You add Tommy Kelly to the mix, who's a proven veteran player from Oakland. You have Aqib Talib healthy, and we talked about down the stretch last year how much of a difference it seemed that Aqib Talib made on the defense. So I think it makes sense that they would start from a better point this year than a year ago when, you know, you're starting Chandler Jones, a rookie. You're starting Dont'a Hightower, a rookie. You're ending up with Dennard, a rookie, as a starter. All those guys are experienced now, so you start from a further point along in the playbook and in the process.
And offensively, Freddie, you know, you look at, you say, well, maybe it wasn't Brady's best game, but a week ago we were talking a lot about the young receivers and whether or not they'd be able to catch on, and, you know, maybe it was the short
week. Or catch
week.
At all.
Well, it seems like they were able to take advantage of that longer preparation period. They had 10 days, and it showed. I thought they were better. It wasn't perfect. You know, Edelman was still reliable with his seven for seven on catches and targets, but you got some contributions from Tompkins with two touchdowns. You got some contributions from Dobson with seven catches out of 10 targets. So that's what you want to see. You want to see these guys getting better. And from week two to week three, you saw, you know, a little bit of a rise. Now, can they continue that? Can they be consistent now?
Right. The other thing I liked about the offense against the Bucs was how they worked in Ridley and Bolden together. You know, Bolden catching passes out of the backfield in addition to running the ball. They need that with Vereen out. So with Bolden back, if he can fit into that role a little bit, he's not going to be Shane Vereen, but if you can have that option of throwing to the back out of the backfield, it eases some of the pressure off the young receiver.
And not even just out of the backfield. He lined up wide a few times like we've seen Vereen do, even to the point where Brady threw to him with Darrell Revis on the other side of the field, and Bolden even said it was my fault. He told me he was going to still throw to me, and he threw to me, and I wasn't really ready. But, you know, 100 yards of total offense. He had the big run. He had a couple nice screen passes where he sort of maximized what was there. I'm not sure he's athletically on the same level as Shane Vereen, but I think they do need somebody to fill that role right now as sort of the rest of the offense comes together, and he's the closest thing they have in terms of a versatile back. The one thing for him is sort of what it is. He needs to stay on the field. He missed the first two games with that knee injury. Last year he had the suspension and an injury kind of flashed in Buffalo. He needs to consistently put these performances together.
If I apologize, Fred, you're right. Brady wasn't at his best. I forgot about that play that he threw to Bolden out wide against Darrelle Revis. I had forgotten about that play.
And who else wasn't at his best? The Tampa defensive coordinator for leaving Revis on a running back out of the backfield.
Yeah, what a waste.
I'm not ready to make definitive statements on either side of the ball, but absolutely you have to say that the progress is being made and it's in the right direction, right?
Sure. Now all we have to wonder is the next three opponents on the schedule.
Well, we only think about the next one. Right?
Okay, so Atlanta.
Right.
Okay.
So it's going to be a
blinders on, just Atlanta.
Big test on the road, loud environment, a lot of offensive weapons. I think we'll be able to make some conclusions after this game.
Another test for those rookies, too.
The Patriots' defense has never really been a big blitz-happy defense, especially early on in seasons when Bill Belichick is still trying to find his way. But one thing I've seen so far this year that I really like is some stunts that they're playing up front. We've seen Chandler Jones move from end to tackle at times. That's really been effective. We've also seen some games, some loops with the tackles going outside, the ends coming around. That's been effective. We've seen the linebackers involved, Gerard Mayo on the edge coming from the outside. It's worked as well. 7 sacks the last 2 games. The Patriots are never going to be a big blitz-happy team, but I like the stunts that they're performing right now. Chandler Jones is a guy to keep an eye on. This could be key to the pass rush. I talked a little bit about the Patriots linebackers and Gerard Mayo, but I also wanted to bring up Brandon Spikes. He's a guy that didn't see a lot of playing time early on in the season. First couple of games, the Patriots were almost entirely in their sub packages, and his playing time suffered as a result. But against Tampa Bay, that's exactly the kind of game that Spikes thrives in. Doug Martin in a ground-heavy attack with the Bucs, a huge fourth down stop in the first half. Brandon Spikes right there to fill the gap. This is the kind of game that he can play on. So there's still a spot on this team for Brandon Spikes, especially against a ground-heavy attack. I'm going to stay on defense with all 3 of my points this week because I would really be remiss if I didn't mention Rob Ninkovich. It was great to see him get rewarded with a 3-year contract extension. Never has a guy deserved it more than Ninkovich. I think he's the most consistent performer in that front 7. He's a guy that really did it the hard way. Got released a couple of times, came to New England in the middle of training camp, found a way to stick around, and now he's really an integral part of that defense. He's such a cerebral player. We know talking to him, he keeps notebooks on the different tackles. This is why he has so much success. It's not just about the physical, it's the mental with this guy. He's a great leader, a great presence in the locker room. Congratulations on the extension.
Coming up on Patriots Football Weekly.
It's kind of like, oh boy, whatever this is right there. Got to be on your P's and Q's with this one.
Morning Meeting is brought to you by Verizon. Stay connected to your Patriots at home and on the go with Fios Quantum Internet and NFL Mobile from Verizon. That's powerful. Patriots Football Weekly is brought to you in part by Putnam Investments, a proud partner of the New England Patriots, pursuing performance excellence for 75 years. Images of the Week, brought to you by Jack Daniels. Please drink responsibly.
Here are the images of the week after a big win against the Bucs. This first one is Julian Edelman, probably the most consistent player so far this year. I like Brady throwing to his backs out of the backfield. We're looking for that big second-year jump from Dante Hightower. And finally, I'd have a tough time, too, if I had 60-foot fans yelling at me.
Player Perspective is brought to you by Putnam Investments, pursuing performance excellence for 75 years.
Patriots running back Brandon Bolden with us. A couple of weeks off to start the season. Had to be really exciting to get out there, but not only get out there, you're out there 5 wide, split out wide for your first play of the season. What was that like?
It was a blessing. First and foremost, it was great to be back out there. Did miss the first couple weeks, but you know, you gotta take the cards how they're dealt, and I did, and I took advantage of my opportunity.
And you had an opportunity to have one of the best cornerbacks in football lined up on the other side of you. I'm not sure if that was part of the defensive game plan to have Darrelle Revis covering Brandon Bolden in space, but you got down the sideline on him on that one play. What was it like, you know, having a guy like that cover you?
It was kind of crazy. When I got out there, it's not a usual thing to have a cornerback walk over a running back. So it's kind of like, oh boy, Darrelle Revis is right there. Got to be on your P's and Q's with this one. So it was great. It was a good experience, and it was good. I mean, I needed it.
You guys have obviously some different kinds of running backs. You know, you have Stevens a little bit more in between the tackles, and Shane's out now. And as I mentioned, he's a little bit more outside. And then the big power guy in Blunt. different mix with all you guys, Leon Washington as well. What's that meeting room like? What's your locker, running back room like?
It's pretty, I don't want to use the word chill, because there's a bunch of young guys in there, even Leon, you know, even though he's kind of the old guy.
Well, Duke can say.
You know, every guy is different, and especially with Leon and LeGarrette, with them being in the league longer than me and Steven, those two guys we kind of lean on for, like, experience kind of pointers, as I want to say. Because, even with Tampa Bay, I just ask LeGarrette, like, what is this guy like? What is that guy like? And Leon, him playing at that level he's been playing at, just ask him what it's been like and his journey from where he started to now, and just learn from everybody. And that's pretty much how the entire room is. They got here, they had questions, and when they got here, we had questions. So, I mean, it's just been a Q&A so far, and we've just been learning so much from each other, and I think that's why we work so well together.
Real quick before I let you go, you're heading to Atlanta on Sunday night. Obviously a national television audience. There's some young guys in this locker room that really haven't been through those kinds of games. What is it like, what's the difference playing at night and knowing everybody's going to be watching? You know, what's the difference?
To be honest, I really don't ever see a difference. I really too much don't pay attention to the cameras. I mean, because to me, the exact way you practice is the exact way the game is going to go for you. So if you kind of just block everything out, you really don't see too much of the sidelines and cameras and stuff like that, I think they'll be fine.
We turn our attention to the Atlanta Falcons, and offensively that means Julio Jones tied with Julian Edelman for the NFL lead with 27 receptions at this point. He's a big play receiver, big body, can turn short passes into big plays, can fight for the ball down the field, and the guy who'll be tasked potentially with matching up with Jones will be Aqib Talib. He took Vincent Jackson away last week. Can he do the same thing to Julio Jones, the most dangerous weapon on the other side of the field? If he can, that'll go a long way for New England in shutting down the Falcons. The Falcons offense has Julio Jones. Patriots defense has Chandler Jones. 3 sacks through 3 games. He is showing that improvement in his second year as an impact pass rusher. This week is a good chance to test that in a tough environment in Atlanta. Sam Baker is banged up. Lamar Holmes is a second-year backup. Some uncertainty at the left tackle spot. Best way to shut down Matt Ryan is to not let him get comfortable, and that starts with Chandler Jones. Looking at the Patriots' offense, the biggest issue this year has been in the red zone. New England ranks 32nd in red zone offense, only 4 touchdowns in 13 trips. The good news is maybe Gronk is back this week, and obviously even if he's limited and has a snap count, his biggest impact could come as one of the best red zone targets in football. On the other side of the ball, Atlanta is just so-so in red zone defense, 23rd in the NFL at this point. Opponents have scored 7 touchdowns in 10 trips. A good week to pick up the action in the red zone could go a long way if you get into a shootout with the Falcons in terms of winning the game.
Coming up on Patriots Football Weekly.
Am I the only Tom Brady fan on this show anymore? Am I the only one who still thinks he's a pretty good quarterback?
Patriots Football Weekly is brought to you in part by Ace Ticket, the official travel partner of the Patriots. For information, call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Patriots Football Weekly is brought to you in part by Pepsi, official soft drink of the New England Patriots. Around the NFL, brought to you by Nissan.
The Patriots are headed down to Atlanta to take the Falcons on this weekend, and it got me thinking about Thomas Dimitroff. The former director of college scouting for the Patriots has done a pretty good job building the Falcons since he took over. He's been aggressive in the draft. 2 years ago, he moved up against the advice of one Bill Belichick and took Julio Jones. He brought in Matt Ryan as his franchise quarterback in 2008, and he's been aggressive in free agency as well. Since he took over in 08, the Falcons have the best record in the NFC. Forget about Eric Mangini and Scott Pioli and Charlie Weiss. The one that got away is Thomas Dimitroff.
Coming into the season, most people would have thought that the NFC is the much stronger of the two conferences, and quite frankly, I would have agreed, but so far, that really hasn't been the case. The AFC has done very well in games against the NFC, and never was that more true than on Sunday. They went 6-2, including three very impressive wins. Cincinnati knocks off Green Bay, Miami knocks off Atlanta, and in my opinion, the most impressive of them all, Indianapolis went to San Francisco and absolutely laid the smackdown on the 49ers. Right now, the AFC is really surprising some people, and maybe we'll have a different story in the Super Bowl than many of us thought.
A lot of NFL coaches try to make the game sound oh so difficult, but really, football's pretty simple, and we're seeing that in the stats early in the season. The biggest surprise good team, Andy Reid's Kansas City Chiefs, 3-0. But it's no surprise, they're +9 in the turnover ratio right now, haven't turned the ball over once, and they're winning games. How about the surprise bad teams? New York Giants, 0-3, Pittsburgh Steelers, 0-3. Guess what? Bottom of the league in turnover ratio, -9. Giants have already turned it over 13 times. So for all the scouting reports and the analysis and all the statistics, pretty simple. Don't turn the ball over, you win football games.
Trash Talk, brought to you by Waste Management. Remodeling or just have clutter to get rid of? Waste Management's new Baxter dumpster in a bag can take it on.
It's been just three games, but at this point, what do you have more confidence in, offense or defense?
Maybe I'll come to regret this, but I always feel confident going with Tom Brady, and I'm going to stick with the offense. And part of it isn't just Brady, it's the return of Gronk, which is very much on the horizon, the expected return of Danny Amendola, and the growth of the receivers. They're going to be better. The running game's chipping in. I don't know how you can go against this offense long term.
Yeah, you know, I understand about Brady and all the things that he's done. I'm going to surprise you, though. I'm actually right now...
Did Fred brainwash you into thinking Brady stinks now?
Maybe a little bit, but I'm a little more confident in the defense. I think that this is the group that finished last year. I thought they improved last year late in the season, and Tlaib battled some of the health problems that he had, but I think Aqib Tlaib's presence, a healthy Tlaib, is really starting to show throughout that defense. I think they're able to play a little bit differently because they have the ability to have him lock up on somebody. That defense right now, I'm very encouraged.
You know what else allows them to play differently? Having a person on the other side of the ball who's incapable of completing passes. 50% completion percentage. That's basically what they've played through the first three games of the season.
But you can be a hater if you want to.
Right. I'm hating the quarterbacks on the other teams. I think they stink.
Good answer.
I think they stink. And that's why I'm going with the proven commodity. We see it this year. Peyton Manning is rolling. Tom Brady is going to be rolling. They are working out the kinks. When Gronk is back, Amendola is back, everybody's going to be saying, wow, Brady's got it again. He's got young weapons to work with in addition to Gronk.
Yeah, well, I'm not as convinced about those weapons maybe as some other people.
Gronk? Listen, when,
no, the Dobson and Tompkins and Boyce and Sudfeld, these guys, I still think they're finding their way and they're going to continue to find their way. I'm not as sold on that side of it. Listen, if Gronk was going to be 100% Gronk when he came back, then maybe... I think I'd come to your side. I'm not convinced of that. I don't think he's going to be healthy. I don't think he's going to be quite himself. But defensively, I think there's still room to improve. I think they still have the ability to work some young guys in with a group that's come back and I think has played better. You still have the ability to get a kid like Logan Ryan out there for some extra snaps. Jamie Collins, I think they can get even better than what they are right now. I think if they can continue this momentum, I think they're playing with a little bit of confidence right now. I think they've been tired the last couple of years of hearing how they're the weak link of the team. In the first three games, you're right. They played bad offenses with bad quarterbacks, but that's not their fault. They did what you're supposed to do to a bad offense, shut them down.
And they did what you're supposed to do when the other team drops two touchdowns, you know, like Vincent Jackson and Tim Wright did.
But you can't play that game, you know.
Right.
I mean, how many times has the offense benefited from a defensive back slipping and falling? We don't take those points away from the
offense. But who's more likely to take advantage of those opportunities? It's Brady. And Brady's going to have more opportunities.
In the past, I would say yes.
Wow. Everybody on this show is just turning their backs on Tom Brady.
No.
Am I the only Tom Brady fan on this show anymore?
Don't turn this
into... Am I the only one who still thinks he's a pretty good quarterback?
Don't turn this into an anti-Tom Brady thing.
It certainly feels
like
it. The whole show feels like anti-Brady.
This is why they don't like the way you argue with me, and this is why I'm the people's champion. You like to change
the argument. I thought you told me the people were stupid.
This is when you change the argument in the middle. I am not. This is not an anti-Tom Brady rant.
I go with the best player.
Around him.
You're giving the room for growth on defense because of quote-unquote young players. I'm giving the room for growth on offense for young players, some veteran players, and oh, by the way, the fact that you have a Hall of Fame quarterback who's going to get more comfortable with everybody around him as the season goes on.
Yeah, well, the growth that I'm expecting is starting at a higher level. I think the defense is playing here. The offense is playing here. So the room to grow, to me, is all relative. I think these guys are going to get better. I think Chandler Jones, Rob Mankiewicz, Aqib Tlaib, these guys right now, they're getting better. It's going
to
be tougher, but they're going
to
get better.
Talk to me in 3 weeks, and we'll see how confident you are in that defense. And by the way, if they do what you say they're going to do against these next three opponents, I'll be on your side.
Let's revisit.
Tonight's show is brought to you in part by Nissan. Choose Nissan today for great offers on our most innovative lineup ever. Shop at ChooseNissan.com. New England Football Night is brought to you by AT&T. Rethink possible. Patriots Football Weekly is brought to you in part by Roach Brothers Tasty Tailgating, official tailgate partner of New England Football Night. Read and React, brought to you in part by Yokohama. Now through October 13th, buy a set of four Yokohama tires and receive a $100 Patriots Pro Shop gift card free. Details in store. Yokohama, technology drives better tires.
All right, it's that time in the show when we answer your questions that you sent to askpfw@patriots.com. But first, next week we look forward to the return of the Wilson-Hart Power Index.
Finally.
Okay, I'll sharpen
your thirst will be quenched.
Yep. Okay, great. Well, we'll have that next week. Let's get right into the questions.
I'm really anxiously awaiting that.
You should be.
All right. Okay.
I hate you.
Danny Greenwood writes the first question. He says, Brandon Bolden seemed to be on the field more than Stephen Ridley and LeGarrette Blount against the Bucs. Does that mean he's going to be the starter?
No, and I think the only reason he started is because clearly they wanted to start in basically that four-wide set that probably would have had Shane Vereen out there had he still been healthy. He's the most athletic, versatile of the backs they have left, with Leon Washington also out of the lineup. But I think it's clear, more than ever, you know, last year you had 1,200 yards, 290 carries for Ridley. I think you're going back to the committee. I think you're going to see a lot more rotating. As long as these guys stay healthy, you're going to see a lot of different personnel groups.
And that's the key. It's personnel groups. It's not who starts.
Yeah, it's irrelevant who has the first play of the game. You looked at it the other day. I think it was 14 carries for Blount. I think it was 7 or 8 carries for Ridley. You have 4 or 5 touches and then 4 or 5 catches for Bolden. That's what it's going to be. Committee.
Yeah, I wasn't really looking for a follow-up there. But anyway, Stan writes in, the last time the Patriots were 3-0 was 2007, and nobody on that team celebrated. But this year, they're 3-0 against three bad teams, according to Stan. Why are they celebrating, and why is Bill Belichick feeding into that kind of celebration?
What are we really upset about here? We're 3-0. Why should they be unhappy about it? Here's my thing. I think some of the teams that have had a lot of success here in the past, certainly that 2007 team, veteran-laden team, teams that expected to win. They knew they were going to win. They knew they were going to be good heading into the season, and they won. So maybe it was a little bit more business-like. These guys, there's 14 rookies on this team. There's a bunch of guys on this team that haven't had the playoff success that Tom Brady has had. Why not be excited about it? I think you're trying to, you know, foster some enthusiasm in a winning culture to some guys. Some of these guys are coming from programs that didn't win that much. I have no problem with it.
That's this week's question. Remember, send them every week to askpfw@patriots.com.